Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, we welcome you back to the Monday morning mix, and we continue with our program whilst we wait for Mufti Zubair Bayat. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we've got a few more days before the month of Ramadan. We are already on the 8th of Rajab today, and the dua that we should be reciting is Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. And we all know the purport of this dua is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for life long enough just to see and witness the month of Ramadan. Indeed, there's no guarantees for life at all. Last night, the community bid farewell to a student who was about to graduate at Darul Ulum Zakaria, Maulana Sahil Patel, who was shot in an hijacking incident. And Marhum Maulana was buried last night. So, indeed, life is extremely, extremely short. No one has guarantee for the next minute also. And we know that we should be preparing for our final abode and final destination at all time. And for that, we have to continue with our effort, brothers and sisters. So that if today the time comes, we are ready to go. And likewise, if the time does not come, we still are preparing for our final abode. In both cases, it's to our advantage. So the month of Ramadan is upon us, and inshallah, we live a life long enough to inshallah witness the entire month of Ramadan, because there's so much of khair and barakah. Even for people who pass away during the blessed days of Ramadan, there's a huge, huge discount in terms of how the hisab and kitab is taken. Things are more lenient, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy enshrouds that person and his life, alhamdulillah. So we should continue to make dua for them. All our marhumin who have passed on, we should make dua for them. And those of us who are alive, we should value our time. I mean, what's the use if we are alive and we're not making any difference in terms of our spirituality? What is the difference between a person who's laying in his gravesite and a person who's on the surface of the earth walking but not performing salah, not reading Quran, not making dhikr, not discharging his zakah? What is the difference? What is the difference then at the end of the day? Well, that person is at a loss if he does not realize the value of the time that he has been given in this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. We're going to go for another breather. Hopefully when we return, we should have Mufti Zubair Bayat on the program.
Mere Nabi, Pyare Nabi. Mere Nabi, Pyare Nabi. Mere Nabi, Pyare Nabi. प्यारे नबी सुन्नत तेरी दुनिया दी ऐ नबी प्यारे नबी सुन्नत तेरी दुनिया दी तू ही शफात की अमा ऐ रहमतुल आलमीन ऐ नबी प्यारे नबी
You're listening to Maulana Habib Bobat.
Yes, welcome back to the Monday Morning Mix on Radio Islam International. We do have Mufti Zubair Bayat on the program, and it's time for the basic fiqh. Mufti Sahib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana Habib, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
Alhamdulillah, Mufti Sahib, how are you doing today?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal, praise Allah Ta'ala in all conditions.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah, lovely. Mufti Sahib, last week we had a very important discussion. We said that when a person is visiting the sick person, we should keep it brief. Secondly, we said read the relevant dua. And thirdly, we said that a person should not give unsolicited advice. And whatever treatment the person has adopted already, then we should support the person. Yes, we also mentioned that if a person hasn't taken up any form of treatment as yet and is considering few options, then we can give our advice in that regard, Mufti Saab?
Yes, absolutely, Maulana. And also, we should say comforting words to the sick person. You know, give him hope. Say a lot of good comforting words. Give the person hope. And additionally, to just not only just make dua for him, but to also seek dua from him, because the dua of the sick people is immediately accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the dua of the malaika.
MashaAllah. We can continue with today's discussion, Mufti Saab.
InshaAllah ta'ala. We continue. You know, we did mention that there are various duas to make for the sick person. So we could possibly look at some of those duas briefly, so that we can implement these, inshallah.
Inshallah.
And if we don't know the Arabic wording or we haven't yet learned it, then we can, inshallah, in due course learn it. But in the meantime, we can use even the English translation until such time that we are able to read it in the original wording that came directly from the lips of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So some of the du'as, for example, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that when any of them would become ill, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pass his right hand over the affected part of the sick person's body, and then he would read the following du'a. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made physical contact with the part where the illness was, and then he read this dua. So we see from this that just the touch also, you know, on the part where it needs, the part where the pain is, where the sickness is centered, and to read the dua will have, inshallah, a healing effect, right?
Sure.
So the dua Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read at that time was, Al-Habil Ba's. رب الناس واشفي أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاؤك شفاء لا يغادر سقما. O Allah, Lord and Sustainer of mankind, remove his difficulty and cure him. You are the only one who cures. There is no cure but yours. Grant such cure that leaves no trace of illness. And this comes in Bukhari and Muslim, Maulana. So we can see it's a very authentic narration and a beautiful dua. See that these duas are not just empty words. They are very, very informative, very educational, and iman developing words of these duas.
Mufti Saab, should these duas be read loud in the person's presence, or should it be made in one's heart?
No, there's no harm in reading it loudly. It's quite in order.
Okay.
It's quite in order. There is one particular dua which I will possibly reach later in the program, hopefully. If not, but since Maulana raised the question, there is one dua that one should not read loudly, one should read silently, and that dua is Alhamdulillahi alladhi afani mimma btalaka bihi wa faddalani ala kathiri mimman khalaqa tafdila. It's a bit of a long dua. But this dua is read when you see any person in any problem or difficulty or calamity. You read this dua in which you are seeking Allah Ta'ala's protection from being in the position of that person. So, Alhamdulillah, alladhi afani mimma btalaka bihi. All praise be to Allah who protected me from that which He involved you in. Wa faddalani ala kathiri mimman khalaqa tafdila. And He gave preference to me over many of His creations by giving me so many blessings and bounties, for example, good health, safety, protection, comfort, happiness, success, all these things. When you see someone in failure, you see someone in misery, you see someone in sickness, you see someone in a calamity, you see someone, you know, involved in some kind of being a victim of some kind of crime or what have you, then that is the time to read this dua. But the ulama say that you should read this dua silently, because if you read it loudly, you will be causing some degree of disappointment to the person on the other side. because now you are saying that Allah Ta'ala protected you, and you know, and he, that person was involved, was made to be involved in some calamity. But obviously all this is in the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it doesn't mean the one who's well is better than the one who is unwell. But these are the du'as. So this particular du'a, the ulama say that it is good etiquette to read it silently and not to read it loudly, so that we may cause any kind of heartache to the person on the other side. But the rest of the du'as, Maulana, no problem. We should read them loudly. It will give reassurance to the sick person. And by reading it loudly, we also revise it properly, and the sick person and others around will also listen to it, and they could also learn it, inshallah ta'ala.
Inshallah.
So that is the one du'a in which now we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by his attribute of being Rabbun Nas, the sustainer and the Lord of the whole of mankind. We're saying, Allah, there's no cure but your cure. All these things that we are adopting, whether it is going to the doctor, going to the specialist, going to the hakim, going to the clinic, going to the outpatient, going to the hospital, taking injections, taking drugs, taking medication, all of these things are just a means. La shifa illa shifa. There is no shifa but that in which you put shifa. We adopt these things as a means because it is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do so. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses these means to give the shifa in most cases. Right? Then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, grant such shifa that after that there must be no sickness. It, in other words, a person must be totally cured and no signs of the illness must remain. A beautiful dua of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that teaches us iman also, corrects our yaqeen too, and also it engenders hope in the heart of a person that now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going, is being asked for assistance and for the cure. Right, so that was, that's the one dua that we have gone through.
Gee.
Now, another very famous dua that we find, that we normally will not associate with cure and shifa. But in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an incident has been narrated regarding this particular dua, that this dua is also very beneficial for cure and relief from pain. And the incident is regarding a particular person, a sahabi, who was very ill, and he was gone very weak, emaciated and thin. And seeing him in this pathetic condition, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very disturbed, obviously, and he asked him that, what is your condition, what is your situation, why are you like this? He said, O Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have been supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, O Allah, whatever punishment was in store for me in the Akhirah, let it be unleashed upon me here now in this world.
Ajib.
Imagine, this is a sign of the true fear of the hereafter, the true fear of punishment in the hereafter. So he said, rather I take the punishment here, take the suffering here, then I don't have to go through any suffering on the other side. So this was the dua he made. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in fact remarked, Subhanallah, you won't have the strength to bear this. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him that read this dua instead. Now here is a very sick person who's gone thin and emaciated and weak, right? Like he was very sick now. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches him this dua, and he says, you make this dua from now onwards. And that dua is none other than the very, very famous dua that all of us know, and even the children know, and we all read very frequently. And that dua is, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ.
Subhanallah.
A beautiful dua, which is so comprehensive, it is jami' dua. It is comprehensive of all the goodness of this world and the hereafter, and safety and protection from punishment also. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam exhorted him to read this dua, Rabbana Atina Fid Dunya. And Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he relates that this man began to read this dua abundantly after Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught this to him, and subhanallah, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was cured completely.
MashaAllah.
A man who has gone so thin and weak and emaciated that he was almost like, you know, skin and bone, as we will say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restored his health completely and he became fully well. So from this we can deduce that the dua Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar, it's a comprehensive dua, and it also includes seeking relief from sickness and illness also. So we should try to make this habit when we are ill to read this particular dua, as this person read this dua very abundantly.
MashaAllah.
Now, there are a few more short du'as like these. Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that when he was ill, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited him, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this particular du'a for him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered this du'a for him, and the du'a that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered him was, Kashafallahu durrak wa ghafara zambak wa afaka fi dinika wa jasadika. Right. I just repeat the dua, kashaf Allahu durrak wa ghafara zambak wa afaka fi dinika wa jasadik. The meaning of this dua, may Allah remove your pain, forgive your sins, and grant you strength in your deen and your health. Allahu Akbar. Again, beautiful dua. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for the removal of the suffering. May Allah remove your suffering, your pain, forgive your sins, and grant you good health and strength and afia in your deen and your body. Right. So this is another dua that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to give to Sahaba Kiram. So we see that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered different du'as to different people, varieties of du'as. Like, example, well, now we get different kinds of medication.
Gee.
You get different tablets, you get different, even besides tablets, you get different types of medication, or it comes in different formats, sometimes injection, sometimes it is like a suppository, sometimes it is a capsule. Sometimes it is a tablet, sometimes it is intravenous, right? So therefore you have a variety of du'as. So it's not just one du'a that we just have to read one du'a, but a variety of du'as. And in through that variety, inshallah, the cure will be kept in any one of these beautiful du'as.
MashaAllah. Muftisab, there's one, two messages coming through. It reads here. Just allow me to open this message. It reads, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear Mufti Saab and Maulana, please can you message me the du'as that Mufti Saab has mentioned for Shifa? Yeah, you see, this is one of the challenge that we have, Mufti Saab. Whenever there's a du'a mentioned, then we have to follow it up with the print or with the text at least. And another person asking if there's any app available where I can download these du'as, please advise.
Yes. I know, I'm not aware of any such app, Maulana. Obviously, if one goes onto internet, for example, and you do a Google search, and you type in there, for example, dua for illness, or dua for the sick, then Hazrat will give you some answers there.
He's a good one.
Hazrat will give you some answers. The du'as will probably come up on the screen somewhere, right?
Yeah.
But in the meantime, inshallah, as we come closer to the end of the program, I'll just read the du'as out again, slowly, right? And we hope that inshallah, what's a good idea, I think, Paul and I, at a time like this, is you keep your phone by you and you record.
Oh, very
good. Relevant part. And then you got it, right? Then you can just listen to it again and again.
Yeah.
And if you want, you can take a pen and paper and transcribe it if you want. and even transliterate it if you feel, you know, you want the transliteration, until such time that you got the original Arabic also in front of you, and you can learn the dua like this. May Allah increase the fervor.
Ameen, ameen.
What makes me happy and pleased is that people are interested, people are eager, people are desirous to learn.
Mufti Sahib, on that note, there's another person message to say, send me the number, I will WhatsApp them the duas, whoever is requested.
Again, the eagerness not only to learn, but to teach.
MashaAllah.
That's also a good thing, MashaAllah.
There's another message, Mufti Sahib, it's not on the topic, but because it's related to duas, maybe Mufti Sahib can answer it. It says, the dua of Rajab has been cited as weak and not to be encouraged to be read by the masses. Please comment.
You see, now, obviously we're going to digress from our topic, right, with the limited time we have. But nevertheless, you know, when it comes to duas, when it comes to virtues of deeds, etc., when it comes to acts of nafil ibadah, then the ulama have got a standard principle that they follow, and that is even weak narrations are acceptable for such actions and such recitations and duas, etc., unless it is something that is spurious or what we would call fabricated, what is called mawzu. Then obviously in that instance it will be said that do not do a certain action because the actual narration itself is fabricated and it is spurious. But when it may have a certain amount of what is called dhaf, or it's za'if, or it's a weak narration in terms of the chain, then in such instances the standard principle of the ulama and scholars has been to read these du'as. So I will say that leave all the technical discussions to the ulama and scholars. Let them split hair on the subject matter of, you know, what is the status and all of that. But as far as us ordinary people are concerned, we read the du'as, and inshallah there will be khair and goodness in reading the du'as.
Wonderful, mashallah. Another person giving some more suggestions. The du'a should be posted on Radio Islam's website so we can all see and learn.
MashaAllah.
Another one is
suggestion also.
Then another person is inquiring, Mufti Sahib, what can be read for someone who has a brain injury and is in coma?
Well, these du'as are so comprehensive and general in their nature, it's applicable to all and sundry. Now, since that they raised the subject, what comes to mind is that the incident took place in the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Very interesting incident. A lady by the name of Umm Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha, her husband, whose name was Abdul Rahman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, became very ill and he fell into a coma. And everybody around thought he had passed away.
Rajiv.
Yeah. So Umm Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha, as they were trained in this manner, now look at the training of Sahaba Ikram. She immediately got up and she offered 2 rakats of salah. And she turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in supplication. And lo and behold, Abdul Rahman, the husband, he regained consciousness. So this was a common practice in Sahaba that at the time of illness of anyone, especially if it was a very severe illness, they would offer salah and, you know, then make supplication and then leave it in Allah Ta'ala's hand. And then of course all the other du'as that are mentioned regarding a sick person, read those du'as as well. Now this person, when he recovered, then he realized that people thought he had passed away. So he asked them that, did you people think I was gone? And everyone said, yes, we thought you were gone. So he said that actually, 2 angels had come to me, and they told me, go into the court of Allah, come with us, into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that your judgment could be taken.
Subhanallah.
But as they were about to take me away, one malaika, another angel came and said that leave him, because it has been written in his destiny that he will live for a little while more, so that his children can derive some benefit from him, and then he will pass away.
Subhanallah. Right?
Then it is said that the Sahabi Abdul Rahman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he lived for one more month, and after a month then he passed away.
Subhanallah.
Right? So, Ajib, you know, like this was a near-death experience, as they say, Mom. And there are many people, or there are at least some people, who have had what is called this near-death experience. And, you know, they were sort of shown some aspects of the life of the hereafter. And they felt almost as if they were gone. They left this world. But then life was still written for them, so they made a comeback. And this incident proves it, that in the time of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, such incidents have happened, or at least this one incident has happened, of the Sahabi. And he actually heard the conversation of the Malaika, and he was restored, and it was the Salah. His wife read, and obviously the dua and supplication that she offered, that here we find that he was restored. So, for those people who are in a condition like this, the family should try and read two rakat salah as far as possible near the sick person's bed, somewhere nearby. Salah also has got a power, it has got a nur, a light in it, and sometimes the nur and the light of the salah radiates and permeates into the sick person, and perhaps that becomes the means of cure for that person. So indeed, one of the actions that secures cure for a sick person, besides the dua, is to actually read the salah.
Subhanallah.
And of course, one very, very beneficial and effective action that brings cure for a sick people is to give sadaqah and charity.
If I may squeeze in a question here very quickly, it says, what is the reward for a person who is going to have a major operation? Is it same as a sick person?
Yes, absolutely. Obviously, he's going to have the operation because he's not well. There's some condition, and naturally, that condition has necessitated the operation. So therefore, this will become a means of reward for him, and he will be rewarded. Whatever pain, suffering he goes through, whatever difficulties he goes through, whether it is the anesthetic and recovering from the anesthetic, whether it is the actual operation, the cutting, the pain, after that, all of that he will be rewarded, inshallah.
MashaAllah. Mufti Sahib, we've got the last 5 minutes. Perhaps Mufti Sahib want to spend a few minutes recapping those du'as?
Actually, Maulana, I am only gone probably halfway through the du'as.
Ajib, MashaAllah.
Yeah. There are other beautiful du'as of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But before we go to the balance of the du'as, maybe we should leave that, some part of it, for next week. What I was going to mention is this, that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged that one of the modes or methods of treatment of the sick people, he said, Dawu mardakum bis-sadaqah. Oh people, treat your sick ones and seek cure for them through sadaqah and charity. So we mentioned the importance of reading salah as far as preferably near the sick person, and also by giving sadaqah and charity, and of course the du'as that have been mentioned, which also inshallah will continue with that discussion, and we'll try to complete it next week. Or whenever we're having the next program. I forgot, next week is a long weekend, Maulana.
I was just waiting.
You must be off too, Maulana.
Ji, inshallah.
You're covering the Ijtima, obviously.
Lovely, ji.
Inshallah. We'll see you there.
Inshallah, Mufti Sahib will be there, mashallah.
Inshallah. Lovely. Inshallah. I really love the Ijtimas and being there. listening to the advice of our pious elders,
mashallah,
and obviously
mashallah,
also getting the opportunity to greet our Muslim brothers there.
Yeah, Rasten Muqtada had a program in Rastenburg for the youth, if I recall.
MashaAllah, wonderful, Mawlana. Allah must accept all the good efforts that are happening. And Allah Ta'ala make this ijtima very, very successful.
Ameen.
May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala cause a lot of benefit to accrue out of it, except
Ameen,
the people of Rastenburg.
Ameen.
And all the good effort they are putting in, and all the jamaats from all over Gauteng and all Northwest and all the other provinces, MashaAllah. And make this ijtima a means of transforming the lives of people, of giving a direction to our community, giving a kind of road map to our youth, how to spend their lives.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting our pious elders are coming. Apparently, I hear that Mawlana Ahmad Lat, Dawud Barakat, one of the senior elders, will be coming, and he will be a very dynamic speaker. A lot of stirring sermons and lectures that he delivers. So inshallah, I'm really looking forward to listening to all those advisors,
inshallah,
and hope to be there inshallah, and we hope we could meet up there as well, Mawlana.
Mufti Saab, what is very interesting and a point of note is that Mufti Saab is involved in the field of tasawuf and also taking part in the effort of tabligh. That is a very good thing, Mufti Saab.
No, Mawlana, see, all is ours. Every effort of deen is ours. Every facet of service of deen is ours. Our darul looms, our madaris are ours. Our makatib are ours. Our jamaats are ours. Our ijtimaas are ours. And also our khanqas are ours. And all our organizations and all people who are serving, even in welfare and relief organizations, all are ours. All are one. It's all the limbs of one body. You can't say, the body will function without a hand or without a leg or without the eye or without the nose or without the heart or without the organs. No, we need a complete body.
Mashallah.
And this is our beautiful deen. This is a complete body. So, alhamdulillah, this work is a very great and noble work. And alhamdulillah, this ijtima that is taking place there in Rustenburg, it's a very great effort to revive the deen in the community in a very mass and large scale.
Mashallah.
So we take also this opportunity, Mawlana, we do this jointly, that we take this opportunity to invite all our listeners and all who are residing close by in those regions, that they should make an effort and sacrifice and attend this ijtima. At least, even if it's not the whole ijtima, even some part of the ijtima, listen to the advisors, learn, inshallah, al-aziz, from the learned and pious scholars who are coming, and take benefit, because we won't have any excuse on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah Ta'ala will say, why didn't you do this, why didn't you do that, and we say, Allah, I didn't know. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will say, you got no right to say that, because knowledge was being offered at your doorstep, but you were lethargic, and you are negligent, and you are indifferent to it, you didn't care about it, so you have no right to say or cite the excuse of ignorance, because enough knowledge was being offered, but you showed no interest or eagerness to acquire that knowledge.
Mufti Saab, very quickly, I want you to answer this question for a mother. She says, I have a six-year-old son in ICU. Isa has been up and down for a period of over 2 months now. Will he be rewarded also equal to his pain, inshallah? And should the parents make an intention when they are visiting a sick person every morning and evening, even though it's their son?
Absolutely, Mawlana. He will be rewarded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not leave anybody unrewarded. In fact, the parents will be carrying the reward as well. In fact, whatever happens to him, they receive the reward, because they are equally, if not more, in agony than him, because obviously it's their masoom child. And definitely they should make the intention of visiting a sick person, though it may be their own child and they're doing it out of duty and responsibility, but they will be rewarded for that as well.
Wonderful. Mufti Saab, Jazakallah Khairan for your time, much appreciated. Very insightful program. We were supposed to recap the du'as, but hopefully in the next program we'll do so. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.